Our first passage comes from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And now Isabel will read 2 Corinthians 5:17.
So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new.
Anyone who believes in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come.
Blessings to you, Randy.
I was so struck by the reading of the scripture that I forgot that I have to come and preach. I was just mesmerized by that beautiful reading. Thank you, Donna, Isabel, and Marvin. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. It's great to be gathered together again. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I wanted to begin the sermon this morning with a little story from Karl Barth. And this happened at the start of the First World War. The young Karl Barth was a parish minister in Switzerland. And at this moment of crisis with the World War literally happening around him, Barth and his friend Edward Terneissen plunged deeply into the Bible. They began really digging into the scriptures in a new kind of way. And they began to read not simply as a record of other people's religious awareness, but as a living word from God. Can you imagine plunging into the scriptures in a new kind of way as crisis is happening all around the world war? The point that emerged for Karl Barth with devastating clarity was what Barth sometimes spoke of as the new world in the Bible. The new world in the Bible. Maybe new meant two ways. It was new to him, a new way to read the Bible. It was also the world of God's new creation. It was a world where God was sovereign and called nations and individuals to account. If the Bible opens up a world which is the new creation accomplished by Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection, and now energized by the Holy Spirit, there can be few tasks more important, says Karl Barth, than engaging appropriately with this Bible, challenging though that has always been. So with that in mind, let's engage this living word this morning by starting in prayer. Living God, you speak to us through a living word. We invite you to speak to us this morning. Mold us, form us into your likeness. We invite the community of believers of discernment and your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are doing a new thing. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, we have an opportunity this morning in 2018 to, as Jan very nicely led us in the Sunday school, to think ahead in 2018 with our calendars. And we're also maybe coming this morning thinking about everything that happened in 2017 and maybe looking ahead, hoping that the new year will bring new things. I'm very aware that we all come with different experiences this past week. Some are maybe feeling personal pains or anxieties that this new year might bring for them. In the midst of all of the parties and the celebrations and the fireworks and the 0-degree weather, maybe some of us are hurting a little bit still. Some of us know firsthand about health issues in the upcoming months. Some have had to deal recently with a major loss. Some wonder if we can make it in the coming year without the presence of one who meant so much to us in the past year and now has passed away. Some of us are feeling very lonely in spite of people all around us. And some of us maybe fear growing older or fear what the future may hold. Some of us are grieving that the tasks that you used to be able to do, you can't do the same way that you used to be able to. Maybe some of us are dealing with an addiction of some sort. Some are wondering what their next job might be. Some wonder if they'll ever find a job, or whether the new year would be even more frustrating and filled with feelings of hardship. Now, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but what I'm trying to say is, let's just be honest with one another, that in the midst of the holiday celebrations, it can be very hard, and there's things that we're walking that are challenging, and we want church to be a safe space to come and bring all of that. I think some of the reasons why I really try to emphasize that is because sometimes church is not safe to bring all of who we are. Church is often put on your Sunday best, and yes, I did put on the tie this morning. But that idea of put on your Sunday best doesn't always allow for the vulnerability of how do I bring my pain and hardship then if I'm putting on my Sunday best. When I was interviewing here at Whitmer Heights 3.5 years ago, I asked the search committee, how would you describe Whitmer Heights? What is unique about this congregation? And the thing that I heard that still sticks out to me is the word, Whitmer Heights, we hope and pray, is a place where people can be vulnerable with one another. That really stuck out to me. And I think that this is a congregation where we can be vulnerable. And that's my prayer for the new year as well. That we can bring whatever we are facing and bring it to God and bring it to one another. It's not saying that in the midst of my hardship, God is not with me. God is with us. We celebrate that. But there's this safe space then to know that someone's walking with me in this experience of hardship. Thank you for sharing that. I will hold that with you and walk with you. Maybe some of you are coming with lots of joys this morning, excited for the new year and all of the possibilities and opportunities. You're looking at the world with a lot of hope right now and a lot of joy. And maybe some have a little joy and a little hardship, and you're holding both of those together as well. This morning in the new year in 2018, we're celebrating communion. It's appropriate that we do communion this first Sunday of 2018, I believe. And I know a number of other churches are celebrating communion this morning, and our sister congregation, First Steph, celebrated communion earlier this morning. I know that Mellinger Mennonite, which is a church in our district, is celebrating communion this morning. And I know that there's other churches as well around the world celebrating communion this first Sunday of 2018. I'm going to try to really talk a little bit about why do we celebrate communion. We're not going to do the celebratory communion that we did last time, but that doesn't mean you can't celebrate. We want you to celebrate, but it's going to be a little bit different. But this morning I wanted to dig a little bit into this practice called communion. And I'm going to use a few thoughts from N.T. Wright. Some of you know N.T. Wright really well. Wright is a leading British New Testament scholar. He's a Pauline theologian, and he's a retired Anglican bishop. So if you think that this sermon seems really intellectual and like, man, where did Randy get all that? It's not me. Let me just say it. There are some really brilliant thinkers out there, and I'm just passing some of them along for you. some of this thought. So I'd like to start with a quote from N.T. Wright on this subject of communion. These are words that he says. He says, "I find when celebrating the Eucharist that I'm often very deeply moved by a sense of the presence of Jesus. Not the physical presence, but his presence in that new creation sense. When confronted with that reality, it's very difficult to do anything but prostrate yourself on your face. I don't usually do that because then the congregation will think I've keeled over or had a heart attack. But it seems to me that we've got to allow ourselves to experience the presence of Christ and to know him in the mystery of communion, the Eucharist, in whatever way is appropriate for who we are as God's people." In communion this morning, I'm going to invite us to look back in remembrance and to look forward to what God is doing. And just as N.T. Wright talks about that prostrating and just overwhelmed with the presence of Christ, I hope this morning that we can see the living Christ with us in this practice of communion. So first, let's think about this idea of how communion is looking backwards in remembrance. The Jewish, and to think about remembrance, I'd like us to think a little bit about the Jewish concept of the Passover. The Jewish concept of the Passover is not just that they remember the events of the distant past, although that is that, but it's also that they are, for a moment, one with their ancestors who crossed the Red Sea. As we think about the probably the climax of the Old Testament story is God freeing Israel from the exile in Egypt. And that Passover celebration is to remind them of God's act of grace in their lives. And so this Passover celebration reminds them over and over and over and over again that God acted and saved them, that God brought new life and freedom for Israel. And so this Jewish concept of Passover, it's not just them individually remembering, but they remember with the whole body of Israel what God did for them. It's to remind the participants that the Israelites who were freed from slavery, redeemed by God, are us, all of us, together. And for Christians, the disciples who sat in the upper room with Jesus and shared in the meal are also all of us. We are also the disciples of Jesus. And regardless of time and space, we were there when the new covenant was inaugurated, eating and drinking at the table with our Lord. N.T. Wright says, "Jesus died for our sins. Our sins were hung on that cross, even though some of us had not yet been born." It's almost this solidarity and participation with the whole community, even the disciples of Jesus who sat in that room. Jesus says in the text that we read this morning, 1 Corinthians, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so a question that I have for us, for myself, is what do I need to remember this morning of what God has done for me? What do you need to remember this morning? How are you going to give thanks as you come to the communion table? However, it's not just about looking back and remembrance. When we come to the communion table, there is a very real element to this of what God is doing in the future. The new thing that God is doing. The new creation that we read about in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Communion is looking back, and it's also looking forward to the preferred future, the new creation that we participate in. N.T. Wright says of communion, "In the bread and wine of the Eucharist, the past and the future come to meet in the present moment. God's filling of all creation, like the grapes the children of Israel ate in the wilderness, anticipates our being strengthened through the Eucharist by the presence and life of Jesus, not just to defeat evil in our lives, but also so that we can shine God's light into the world." And this text in 1 Corinthians 11:26 in many ways brings the past and the future into the present. This idea that remembrance and preference meet at the table. We read that Paul, as he writes this text, he says, "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you announce the Lord's death until he comes." And so the present moment right now is this idea of whenever. Whenever you announce the Lord's death. That's what we're doing this morning in the present moment. But somehow that present moment of whenever somehow holds together the past events of the Lord's death and the great future when God's world will be remade under Jesus' loving rule. And that's the phrase, until he comes. We announce the Lord's death until he comes. What does that mean when we say until he comes? Well, depending on who you ask, it might mean different things. One way that I like to understand that is that God's kingdom is here and present, but it's not fully realized yet. And what I mean by that is that the lordship of Jesus Christ is not fully made known on this earth yet, but it has been accomplished through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But when Christ comes and Christ's lordship is fully realized and God's kingdom is fully present, that is when God's kingdom is here completely. But in the meantime, we live in the here but the not fully realized yet. And this beautiful text in 1 Corinthians 11:26 reminds us to always be looking backward to remember what God has done for us, that the kingdom has been initiated in the death and resurrection of Jesus. To also be looking forward to when we read until he comes, and to recognize that in the Eucharist, they meet together in the present moment whenever we remember this. Past and future come rushing together into the present, pouring an ocean of meaning into this beautiful sacrament of communion. And so if we recognize that this is looking forward as well, one question is, well, what are we looking forward to? What are we expecting God to be doing? And how do we have eyes and actions to join in that? So I wanted to give just one example of where I see new creation happening. And it's a story that has happened a number of years ago, but I think the effects of it are still happening in incredible ways. We live in such a racially polarized world right now. And at Whitmer Heights here, we're really, especially in Sunday school in the next quarter, we want to look at how are we, people of Christ, really working on anti-racism and racial reconciliation. That has to be core to who we are as followers of Jesus, especially in the world we live in. So I want to give a little story here of an example where we see a beautiful picture of God's new creation kingdom coming. And it's the former Archbishop in South Africa, Desmond Tutu. He's maybe one of the best shining examples of new creation at work. Desmond Tutu is one of South Africa's most well-known human rights activists, winning the 1984 Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts in resolving and ending apartheid. And those efforts are continuing today. Born in 1931, he became the first black Anglican archbishop of both Cape Town and Johannesburg. But who ever could have imagined that at the start of the 21st century, there would be a black archbishop in Cape Town chairing a commission for truth and reconciliation? Who ever could have imagined that God could be up to something that new in the world? Here is the archbishop listening to white criminals and black criminals coming to the table, confessing their sins to one another, and working at reconciliation and truth and justice. Who ever could have thought that? Now, it's important to know that Desmond Tutu was not just believed that this was the right thing to do for reconciliation, but his beliefs in this vision was so grounded in his faith. It was grounded in his belief that God could do something new, even in the midst of unbelievable racism and division and injustice. We are told by historians that Desmond Tutu used to spend 3 or 4 hours on his knees every morning, day after day, week after week, and trying to get others to do the same. He was living the sacramental life of the church, claiming the victory of Jesus over the principalities and powers of darkness and division. Desmond, I see in what Desmond Tutu did there, coming to the table, he was being so grounded in his belief of what God had done, and in his belief of what the new thing that God could do. Even though it hadn't happened yet, he believed that there was a place for reconciliation, new creation happening. Each of us in 2018 has a new road ahead of us in the new year. It's shaped by the roads of last year, and we aren't totally sure where the road will wind in the new year. It's another road, it's a different road than any we've traveled on before. As we step into this new journey in 2018, not knowing for sure what we may find, not knowing exactly where we're going, we can be comforted in coming to the table this morning, in knowing that for sure we are grounded in what God has done for us in the past and will continue to do for us into the future, as God continues to do a new thing in our lives, in our community, in our world. The light of Christ, the same light of Christ that guided Archbishop Desmond Tutu, goes with us, leading us, guiding us, showing us the way. This morning we're also going to have an opportunity for anointing and prayer. And the reason that we're doing that the first Sunday in 2018 is that we want to give an opportunity. If there's a prayer that or a hope that you have for this new year, or there's an anxiety or a concern or a fear that you want to just share, myself and another elder will be in the back, and we will just hear you or pray for you, and I will also, if you desire it, I will anoint you with oil, if that's something that you would appreciate. You can just come for prayer as well. And again, the prayer that we have, that I have for you, is that in this new year, this communion table can ground us, remembering who we are in Christ and looking forward to how God has continued to work in our congregation in the new year.